So, Ivor, thank you so much for finding the time to talk to me and, of course, the listeners of Radio Praga. I'm so happy to be able to, to talk, to have a little chit chat right now with you. So, this is the first stop on this tour. Are you excited to be coming back to Poland, to Warsaw?
Hey, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And yes, I am very excited. This is, like you say, the first stop on the tour. And I love performing in Poland. I've been so fortunate to do it many times now. And I really love my Polish audience. They're always so supportive and alive. And it's just always really a joy to come here and play. So I'm very excited to start, especially in this special town here, special city.
Awesome. Okay, that was the easy part. The easy part is now over. Let's start with the hard one. Okay, you started actually as in your teens as a musician, so it was between 13 and 16 years old. Cliquehase, the first, I think it was the first, one of the first bands. You actually, you were a member. Like in Cliquehase, you were 7, 8, 6.
I was, I think I was 14 when I started in the Cliquehase,
14.
and the band went on from until I was 17.
Awesome,
so for 3 years, yes.
But my question is, when you take a look back into your past, what is the most important change you see in you as an artist, as a human being, as a woman? The biggest change.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Do I have to name one or can I name two?
Even three, four.
Because I think for me, my musical journey has been very much a journey and kind of a parallel experience with life for me. Like the music I create has often been something to do with what happens in my life. And I've always been very curious about music, so I've done all kinds of music. I did jazz and classical, and I did, folk music when I was a teenager, and rock. A lot of then I got into the rock music, and really fell in love with that. But I started to damage my voice, and I always wanted to be a very free singer, and I enjoy operatic singing as well as I do enjoy growling. So I decided to go to Iceland to study classical music, and I think that was a huge change for me because it kind of I had to take a break, and I started to study some techniques that taught me many things about singing and kind of put me back on my feet because I was feeling like I was drowning a little bit. So my time in Iceland changed the road, the journey a lot for me. And the second change came later on, many, many years later, when I decided that I needed to say goodbye to a chapter, a musical chapter in my life. And kind of closed the door to the traditional folk soft music, and I needed to open a more edgy rock and roll door. I had the need to become free again, and that was maybe when I was in my 20s. So first when I was a teenager, and then in my 20s, I think, and that was the hardest one because I had already built an audience, which they all loved folk music. And all of a sudden, I was wearing black and playing electric guitar and screaming. And they were like, what happened to the sweet girl that we love? So that was really hard because I could feel it also from my audience that they, not everyone liked it very much. So, but I did it anyway,
Amazing,
and it was very important for me creatively to kind of become free again in my creation,
like,
or something
liberating.
Yeah, it was very liberating and inspiring, and all the albums I made after that were I felt more independent and more in charge of my creativity than ever before. So those two things are not probably the most biggest things for me.
I would say, I would even I would have a nerve to say that some folk is dark, so there is a huge rebel spirit to it, especially in the sagas.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have murder, you have like really, I'm sorry, but really hot sex stories there. You have like women, you know, fighting, revenge. In sagas there's everything.
Oh yes, in the sagas there's definitely everything. And I've always been very inspired by the sagas from the Faroe Islands, which are very rough, and that kind of music is very free. And I guess what I mean by the folk music is more like the soft folk music that you know. It doesn't have a lot of noise in it. But
It's like a lullaby. I would say like this is soft kind of folk music. It's like a perfect lullaby when you can put your head on a pillow.
Yeah, a lot of violence and sweet things.
Yeah,
And I have nothing against it, and I love it. But when we talk about music and that kind of creative freedom. For me, it was important to not be locked inside a box.
Okay. Yeah. That was the change. That was all about the change. Yes. How about things that you actually regret?
Regrets?
Yes. Ah, the tough ones.
Yeah, good question. I don't think I'm not a fan of regrets, and I'm not like, I mean, I've done many things in my life that, you know, I don't think were amazing, and I don't think that it was nice of me or something, but I don't think regrets, I don't hold on to regrets, because I think it's not a natural thing for a human being to carry around, and I think you have to move on. And you know, I always try to look ahead. So I can't mention any regrets. Although I've not done everything right at all, but
like we all.
But I think that everything you do puts you in the right place where you need to be. And even your stupid things that you do in your life, they teach you some lessons. And I think it's a part of the journey. So I think fuck regrets.
Perfect. Fuck it. What on earth? Just fuck regrets. But yeah, actually, in many, actually, when we talk about mythologies, there is a quotation, just don't look back. Whatever you do, you mustn't look back. Just go further. And I think the hardest fairy tales and stories were about the loved one you are leaving behind, but you cannot look back. That's the hardest, I think.
Yeah, that is totally. I mean, your lovers or your family.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, but it's going to get even harder now. When I was listening to many of your songs.
To what?
Many of your songs.
Oh, yes.
Lyrics. I have noticed beautiful contrasts, and I will use quotations. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I will use quotations on you. Your quotations on, you know, just a joke. When you like say regret, when I said regret, there is a morning song, and you say like your sorrow. This is not who you are. This is not who I am, right? But we have a morning and really tough night vision. Then my favorite, actually contrast, one of my favorite contrasts is like we have marble bridges and leap of faith. Oh my God, this is so brutal, but beautiful, beautiful, really. Dancing girl, and then when you are saying like you're dancing with everything, with dancing while, and then you're knockout, really, because this is life, right?
Yeah.
Those contrasts are, those are giving me the ideas of who you really are. You're full of surprises, actually, as an artist, as a human being.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I've always been fascinated with contrasts,
mm-hmm.
because like contrasts in general, they, you know, make the darkness darker and the light even lighter. And
yeah,
it puts everything in perspective, you know, when you experience a mm-hmm. contrast of some sort. And also like where I'm from, the nature and everything's so full of contrast. It's really soft and beautiful, at the same time very rough and you know,
raw.
Yes, very, it can be hard and
mm-hmm.
you know, tough winters, tough storms. So that really does inspire me. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's funny you mentioned Morning Song, because what we talked about, regrets, I think
exactly.
that's like that's kind of the mantra of mine in life also, like you know,
mm-hmm.
there will be a new day and
yeah,
you have
yeah.
you'll have a new new chance
yeah, yeah, yeah.
to you know, make it better,
mm-hmm.
or
start off,
change your ways, start anew. There's never it's never too late to kind of change
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the patterns
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
No matter how hard life, dark it gets, you know, it's you can always try and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
You know,
to make things over,
yeah,
to
kind of
things
turn
over, yeah, yeah.
things around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
least the things that you can change.
Mm-hmm, exactly, exactly.
For yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, and the other thing is, it's like I'm curious about the vision of girl dancing with a death, because this is what I've noticed.
The true love one.
True love.
Oh, yes,
yes, yes. And also the rain, because in the ending of the video is absolutely amazing. I was like really knocked over by it.
Oh, really?
Yes, because like Shakespeare adored women, death, and water. This is like really, really Shakespearean vision here. But this is not what I wanted to really say, because I really like the image of this dance. I would say girl, a woman, life and death. And actually, to make it work, you have to combine things.
Yes, yeah, yeah. There's again the contrast.
Exactly.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
But it's beautiful, you see, because like the never-ending like dance.
Yeah, cycle.
Of life and death.
Yes.
The cycle, exactly.
Yes.
And
they fall in
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like the most beautiful thing is that she's being in a flower that is actually dead. But
mm-hmm.
she's like, wow, that's so awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, really beautiful. And that is giving me the image of this dark fog, because sometimes in folk tales, in this
yes.
Many mythologies, there is a girl and a death.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is I guess it's a classic
mm-hmm.
in a way, yes, definitely. A classic picture
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's beautiful. And
but I always
mm-hmm.
find a lot of inspiration
yeah, yeah.
in old folk tales, and
mm-hmm.
I like in my music to kind of bring elements from the past and from
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
especially from my roots in folk music. I like to bring it with me into
mm-hmm.
the more modern music
yeah.
that I like to create, so it gets like a little bit of depth, and to
mm-hmm.
try and figure out a way how to, you know, create something new
mm-hmm,
out of
mm-hmm.
something old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's quite exciting.
Yes, that brings me to another question about your favorite story from the sagas. Do you have one, like a favorite creature, maybe?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh. What could that be? Hmm. Oh, I have so many favorite things from all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we learn these to sing these ring dances from when we're children. So I, but there are also many little stories like beside the sagas, like the seal woman, and then there is like the big crazy creature in the ocean, Mikash Ormerin, what's it called in English? That really scary worm in the ocean. Shit, I don't remember what it's called.
Oh my!
Maybe Lurche? No. Anyway, what's your favorite?
That's a tough question. Now you're turning the tables on me, but to be honest, I don't have like a favorite.
I like Huon and Munen, like just because I love ravens and I love the idea of them being the wisdom of Odin.
So another question, out of the blue, what would you regret even the most if Huon or Munen didn't return?
They didn't return.
Yeah, to Odin. No, that's a question. This is a hard one.
That would have been really sad. What I would regret the most.
Huon or Munen missing.
Oh, which one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even remember which one is like...
Fodder memory, right? So it's like a connection of like history and your memories.
Yeah, the one was memory and the other one is...
thought, like you know,
it's thought,
wisdom,
wisdom and memory,
knowledge.
I think that wisdom would be the more important one because memory is very much in the past, but at the same time, it helps us know who we are in a way, where we come from. But I think the wisdom is more important.
You asked me about my favorite creature, and I don't have like a creature. I have like pieces of stories from different mythologies, which is kind of weirdo, I know.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned Silki.
Yeah, you know about the story there.
The fairy tale, but I know it like from Celtic perspective, so Irish tales.
It has so many shapes. Yeah.
I like also Kalevala, the Finnish, like, you know, the founding story of Finland, actually.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I managed to read the translation, entire Kalevala, but in English, unfortunately, because Finnish is very hard. It's one of the hardest languages ever.
Yeah.
So I read it. I like Beowulf.
Oh, yes.
The story of Beowulf. Many, really. But the Silky is beautiful because it's like you can see the woman that actually is changing the shape.
Yeah, and it's such a feminine story. I love that.
And she's getting like
stronger and stronger.
I would say in danger because
also that, yes.
You are like giving the abilities of her, like, you know, every single rich in the sea, every single object, everything is being taken away from her as you take the skin, like her fur. So it's like the story is literally, I'm sorry about the word, but about raping.
At the same time
it's beautiful story of changing the shape of growing up.
Changing the form,
but
yes, and it has like so many depths in a way, I think, that story, because it's it can be interpreted in many ways, I think. And I always found it interesting that they have different endings depending on which Nordic countries you go to, and even like I don't know if the Irish one, Celtic one, is ends the same way, that she becomes this monster. Does she?
I don't think so, but still it's like it's sad. The Irish tales are really sad because there is still a violence and sadness because of the history, of course, but still and brutality. However, the funny thing is that however sad it gets, you still feel this catharsis in you when you think of it, when you read those tales.
Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes, for instance, there is still in England, I think in England definitely, there is a group of people that actually gather around, I don't know if every year, but at least once or two times a year they are gathered, and there is a guy that actually knows Beowulf by heart.
Oh yes?
I think in original. And there is like a huge, huge old kind of reconstruction, old hut from this period, and fire, and the people are getting around the fire, this guy, and he's quotating word by word in the old English, so the original.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I am. They made a Beowulf series that that was never released, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to sing in one of the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I flew to Newcastle to do the singing in a scene, and I had to sing in this old English, which was very interestingly sounded very similar to Faroese and Icelandic, and I was kind of blown away.
I read somewhere that actually Faroese may. It's not like a theory like 100% proven, but because of the Irish monks, it's some kind of like Celtic being mixed with one of the proto-Nordic languages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That's why it is so odd.
So strange.
So strange, but beautiful. But when we are talking about Old English, I would like to ask about Last Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Because you did this collaboration, and the first time I heard, like, you know, the opening scene, my jaw was on the floor, and I was like, who is this girl? What's going on here?
What is this?
Yeah, and it was like, whoa, amazing job, really.
Oh, amazing, thank you. That was funny, because I'd never done music for films or anything before, and John Lund, who makes the music, is the main composer on the series. He sent me an email because he heard one of my songs on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the songs where I sing and play the drum.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if I was up for doing some vocals,
mm-hmm.
just for fun. Like, and then I flew to London, and the opening scene is actually just an improvisation that we did, like, in the studio, and he played me some music and I just sang.
Amazing. It gives the atmosphere of those times, really.
Kind of. And I had never tried it. He put the movie in front of me, like the picture, and put me just in the studio with headphones and a microphone, and I was just, you know, kind of thing. And and I just tried it, and he when I finished recording, he said, damn,
that's good.
I think that's the title music. And I was like, really? The title music? I thought we were just playing around. Yeah, but this is the title music. Oh, okay.
Amazing. But
so that was really funny. And then something that was just supposed to be a one-time thing, a little thing, became a beautiful collaboration. And we've written the entire score together. And right now we are working on the movie. There's a movie coming out next year and a new soundtrack, so I've been busy before I went on tour finishing all the recordings and
and the other thing, a little collaboration with Twinna.
Yes, the they're kites. Great. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I met Fika, who is one of the musicians in Twinna and producers.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her a few years back, and in Holland, actually,
where she's from. She has a studio in Holland right now.
Mm-hmm. And she's a great studio engineer, and she came to my show, and we talked afterwards, and had some contact afterwards. And she's been playing with me on some of my albums.
Mm-hmm.
She's been playing accordion and you know, helping me a little bit with things. And so when she asked me if I would sing with her band, I said yes straight away.
awesome. And it is something amazing, actually, you did on Kreitz, the breathing.
It's so
amazing and so difficult at the same time, because you decided to use the breath element, like, you know, the rhythm, the pace, as an instrument.
Yes.
It's so amazing. amazing. I cannot, I'm sorry, I cannot produce such sounds because I'm not a singer. But you know, there is this moment when there is like a almost as a, you know, stop, and this sound, you know, of breathing. It's yes. so amazing. I cannot like easily put it into words, but if you just close your eyes, you can hear the breathing is completely different. It's not like, you know, the human pace. It's
no,
like,
you put a little bit more like yeah. Like you put a little bit more body into it, like yeah, yeah. instead of you say all these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. That was the explanation. Actually, I liked it. Thank you so much. But anyway, it's so amazing. I like the video. I like the song. The language, like Proto-Germanic, even I won't even pronounce because it's different form of German that we actually know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's a cool track. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would like to stay in this shamanic, let's say, aura for now, because I would like to ask you about your drums. This is a really cool story. You were buying those drums, they were actually handmade, right?
Mm-hmm.
One in Denmark, I think?
Yes. First one I bought was in Norway.
Norway, yeah. Right, yeah. right.
And I'd never played drums and hadn't even not thought about it,
mm-hmm.
but I went for a walk in downtown Trondheim,
mm-hmm.
and walked past this lovely shaman who had this little booth where he was mm-hmm. making drums and he was selling them, and I went to check it out and I completely fell in love with
mm-hmm.
one of the drums that I tried. It's like, and he said, well, this happens, you know, when people meet their drum, there's no separation.
You
belong together. And I was like, wow, that's how I felt. So I bought the mm-hmm. drum, and that drum has brought me a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a song, that Trillabunden,
mm-hmm, exactly.
Right after I bought that drum. And after that, yeah, I've just always, I have an eye for, if I see a drum, I like have to check it out. So at home, I have quite a few now.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's like, you know, playing a drum is like using almost your own heartbeat?
Yeah, I think that mm-hmm. that's a good way to put it, yes. A drum is, it just has, it's such an ancient
mm-hmm.
tool also.
Yeah, yeah.
And It's a simple and yet so complicated tool
to
play,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And very healing to play a drum, and empowering also,
yes,
I
yes.
think, in many ways.
Heartbeat is one of our natural rhythms, actually.
Yeah.
Not only breathing, but you have also heartbeat. That's why, like, we women do hug our infants or babies into our chest, because
yes.
the blood and
yes.
you know the heartbeat is just, you know, calming everybody down, so that's why we hug, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that makes good sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
the energy, right?
It's, yeah, exactly.
And another thing is, when you hug somebody, this person is, you know, the feeling, the person doesn't feel like, you know, this alone and you know prone to danger, if mm-hmm, you know what I mean. It's like mm-hmm. you're sheltering the person, which
yes.
is beautiful.
That's beautiful, yeah. Very beautiful. I love hugs.
Mm-mm.
Some people don't like hugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm totally a hug person.
That's, you know, the old way.
Yeah.
The old way. All right. We will jump into your last record. However, I will make a really strange twist on it, because I have noticed two things. So first of all, patience. Those words, when the patience, has become the stranger for us as a human beings. When it happened, actually? It's an open question for you. Maybe you can give me an answer.
For me, that song is, obviously, when I write my songs, I always try to keep it a little bit open so people can make their own story, fit their own stories into the songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for me, it was inspired by a friend of mine mm-hmm. who was sick from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go through many things. And, watching her go through all this, and you're so helpless, you can't help in any way.
It's just, mm-hmm.
All she had to rely on is patience.
And
to be patient.
Faith.
And faith, and, mm-hmm. you know, hope.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that's really hard to find when you are in these dark places in your life, if you struggle mm-hmm. with illness, or if it's just not going well for you, all these things. But to have faith and hope and patience for things to change for mm-hmm. the better, that was just something I felt really inspired by when I wrote that song. And it became for me like just also a song about for everyone, not about this particular friend of mine, but the inspiration came from her struggles,
mm-hmm.
and I think the song can fit into mm-hmm. different situations, and
mm-hmm.
it's often hard to be patient if life is a bitch. You know?
Yeah, that's actually so true and so correct. But that brings me another question. Slip on it. When actually, that's a good one. That's a piece of advice that I would have to use, definitely. Because, like, everything is so quick nowadays. Everything you have to, you know, make the decision on a snap. You have to do things. You have to listen to music.
Mm.
Fuck's sake, no. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. Really.
Yeah.
It's like, let me make my own decisions. Let me sleep on it. Let me think over it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's hey, Mikael.
Hello.
That's my bass player. We're doing a radio interview.
Okay.
So go away.
Off I go.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, everything goes so fast, and there are so many things to have opinions mm-hmm. about, and things to do, and many decisions to make. In this life, and especially today, like with mm-hmm. all the things that we get thrown into our faces, like every day, like from the internet or
mm-hmm.
whatever. Yeah, so there's a lot to digest. And mm-hmm. I guess that's what that song was about. I remember I wrote it at a point when I was super frustrated
mm-hmm.
about some personal things. I had to make a lot of difficult choices. And that's when I wrote that song, yes.
Perfect, because what is really horrible to notice that we are not allowing ourselves to be weak. For this, we are not allowing ourselves this moment when we are, really, really in danger of harming ourselves.
Because
we are, keeping it busy all the time, like you said. Like,
mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
no time to stop. There is no time to think.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are just, running around like, those crazy monkeys.
Kind of. Especially, I mean, mm-hmm. now I'm just thinking out loud, but with the internet and everything, we're almost forced to have an opinion about everything, and if you have the wrong one, you are not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everyone feels like there's such a rush to judge everything and mm-hmm. make all these decision and choices so mm-hmm. quickly, say. So I think it's nice to be able to allow yourself to stop just for a mm-hmm. second sometimes.
Yeah, and one more thing. Maybe I misunderstood something, but it caught my attention while I was reading one of the interviews about the way you write songs. You feel a little depressed? You feel sad when you in the process of writing them? Did I misunderstood something?
Good question, but I think that it's funny, in life, in general, I'm a quite a light person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I laugh a lot, and I, like my mom, I can be quite a light spirit. But when it comes to creating my art, I think I dig into the dark side of me. or it's the things that are difficult that often inspire me to write a song. The things that are difficult to explain put into words, all those things. That's what we need music for, and that's what we need art for, to help us, just be human beings or something, feel less alone or something. So I think that, yeah, many of my songs come from a melancholic place. But I try to leave some hope in there as well.
This little light.
Yeah, I go into the dark tunnel and I try to dig for the light.
It's not always that easy, actually, in life.
No.
But it's a hard task, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
For you as an artist, but...
It's often a really hard process. I mean, I can feel very playful when I write my music and excited. But then I go further into it because I'm a perfectionist and I always want it to be as good as it can be. And I always end up in a quite dark place where I feel nothing makes sense, nothing matters, all those thoughts. And then I think the challenge is always to get past that. So keep working on it until you feel that it's whole or finished, I guess.
So maybe the part of problem is being perfectionist, but probably you are ending up with far too many songs. Sorry.
too many songs. Well, probably. Yeah, well. Yeah, I think that often I feel very excited about a song in the beginning. And then I start to think too much. And then I think, oh, wait, I have to change this and I have to change that. Oh, what if I change the lyrics to this? Because that makes more sense. And then all of a sudden, you're in much deeper. And that's where it's the challenge starts, I think. And you have to go through the process.
You have to dig out.
You have to dig all the way down and then come up again.
Into the light.
Because if you stop too fast, you haven't really touched the button of it. So you have to kind of dive into it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my.
I think when I was younger, I just scratched the surface when I wrote songs. And the older I get, the deeper I dive.
Does it?
And I'm not, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it, what I want to say, aren't you scared of yourself in a way? Because when you are going into really dark places, you have to, you're down below the abyss. The light is way above, of course. But aren't you afraid of yourself a little bit when you are not scratching the surface, but you are, going deeper and deeper?
I don't think I'm afraid of myself necessarily, no. Maybe I can get a little bit scared or feel a little bit lonely or sad or something. But I don't have that kind of thoughts that are scary.
Not yet.
Well, they can be scary, of course. But, I don't know. I have to sleep on it.
Take your time. I would say take your time. Because the most interesting thing is that most of us, like really, really most of us, we are afraid of ourselves. We are afraid of the image we have inside. The image, because of course, on the outside, this is the facade. It's obvious, it's the feature of life, what you are showing outside. But when you are with yourself, like alone, you are facing yourself, you are mirroring yourself.
Now I understand better what you're asking. That's always super scary. That kind of loneliness or that kind of existential feeling where I'm just a nobody in the middle of the universe, and what is this life? That kind of thought, that kind of. But I also really like it, that kind of perspective that you get when you are alone and when you are not afraid to kind of just, you know, just be a fragile human being in the middle of the universe. It's it just makes life so beautiful. At the same time as it's scary and lonely, it's also so amazing. It's so unpredictable and unbelievable. So it's just this, I think that's the feeling that I'm always looking for when I sing, like, just, what is this? Why are we here?
Probably that is why in some of the stories the heroes had to face the mirror. You know, face themselves, their fears, their worst nightmares.
Exactly. Yes.
And sometimes the mirrors were cracking. And the hero, of course, won the fight. But that's why I mentioned, like, being scared of yourself.
Because this
is scary when you have to face yourself and accept the darkness in you.
This is a part
of you.
Exactly.
As the nature mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Now that makes total sense. It's, like you say, in many myths, it's a classic.
Never-ending story.
Yeah, never-ending story, exactly. Yeah.
But also in canon, I don't remember which part, I think it was the second part of canon with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, this fantasy, basically, it was in the 80s, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Something like this.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Well, a challenge for you.
Yeah. Good tour challenge.
Yeah.
Long drives.
To watch as two parts of Conan and fall asleep. Okay.
That yeah.
and Red Sonja as well. All right. The last thing, really the last thing. Would you like to say anything to your Polish fans?
I just want to say thank you to my Polish fans. I'm so grateful, you know, for the support and for them showing up to my shows when I'm here. I wouldn't be here if they weren't here. So I'm just really grateful to all my Polish fans for being so the best
Aww.
Audience, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. It's very nice to hear that we are the best.
You really are. It's so great to play here. It's always. I heard it also before I toured in Poland. Some of my friends in Iceland, they told me that Poland is a great place to tour.
Let me guess. Solstapir? Astidir, Solstapir? Guys from
Solstapir.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a band called... it's called, oh my gosh, let me think.
Vintage Caravan? I'm just guessing, sorry.
My sound engineer was playing in that band, but Jesus, I know the name, but I just right now I'm stuck.
It's okay.
They don't play anymore, but okay, their name is, shit.
Right,
it will come when you leave. I was like, it's
what?
Here. Anyway, they told me.
Okay.
So and I yeah. So I had expectations, like, okay, I've heard that playing in Poland is the coolest, but it was much even better than I heard. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It was so lovely to speak to you.
What a fun interview. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Very cool questions.
Hope to see you soon live.
Yes. Yes.
Minutes
me too.
Away.
Me too.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna put on some makeup.
Yeah. Thank you for
my
you so
hair.
Much.
Thank you.
It was lovely.